Last week we started talking about moving in God's success. And it's going to take faith to move into God's success. And part of this success story of Streams has been, you know, hearing God and moving out and just doing the things He tells us to do when He tells us to do it. And we have come this far, not because it's just my faith in obedience to what God has said, and it's not because of the obedience and the faith of the leadership hearing for God and believing that God is speaking to me to this point, but where God wants to take Streams, and He wants to take First Love, is uniting ourselves that the church has not had since the beginning. And it's going to take our faith to elevate from our ascendant mental capacities, which that car, my Z28 is smacked up. And we come together as one church. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, worldwide. Amen? Last week I talked about how faith comes, and faith comes how? Right, Romans 10:17. If you know, I'm going to reiterate these scriptures. If you haven't had these, you know, take them. I gave out handouts on some of this stuff last week. That should be like mini Bible studies for you to go in and let the Holy Spirit deal with stuff. But I also said that through Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to be pleasing to God without faith. Okay? And I said to you last week, we have two types of faith that we operate from. What are they? No, there's two types of faith. We're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith. There's two types. Mental ascension, which is a faith that a lot of us have operated from. And we come to the Jesus rest stop with this particular faith. Okay? Which is damaged. It's busted up. I just noticed that the steering wheel impact bag is deployed. The impact, that's right. The airbag. It just shows how messed up we are. And the faith that is pleasing to God is a heart faith. Head, heart. And then I broke down that there are five stages in which to energize our faith, of which we only talked about one. What one did we talk about, Nolan, last week? Stage one. Faith comes by just listening to the Word. Hearing the Word, which is listening to the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. The living Word of God. And then it's believing the Word of God. It's visualizing the Word of God. Right? It is confessing the Word of God. And where we mess up is we don't walk, because we walk by sight, not by faith, which is mental ascension. And we talked about these things. I said that God has given to each one a measure of faith of Romans 12:3. Principle number two is what? What is principle number two? What's principle number one, Ed? Ooh, man. There's a man of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Principle number two, Jessica. Romans 12:1. Being a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable, and is your unreasonable service. What are you shaking your head no for, Miss Holly? That's wrong? Well, what's wrong with it? Right. What God asked of us is not unreasonable. It is reasonable. He died as an example to us to fulfill the will of the Father. And He's asking us to do the same. Put down our agendas, put down our plans, put everything down as secondary to his cause. Principle number three is what, Sean? Romans 12:2. If we're a living sacrifice, now he tells us how we're to be. No longer conform so that you... Amen. Amen. Principle number three. Now you're on the verge of principle number four, which is God has dealt to each one or given to each one a measure of faith. Okay? And I really get bristled when things aren't going in people's lives and with good intentions, we say to them, well, brother, sister, all you need to do is ask God for more faith. Have you ever heard this? And I bristle because that's not biblical. We are to exercise. How are you going to build the muscles, you know, to pump you up in faith? Huh? How are you going to do this thing? I know Arnold Schwarzenegger is bad, but that's okay. That's okay. It is. But he wants to build your faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. He's given us a measure of faith, so in order to build our faith, he puts us in situations or he allows situations to come into our lives to see how we will react. Right, Miss Holly? How we respond. We are not a people of reaction. Mental assenters react. And we crash into the wall every time. And of course, when I crashed my vehicle, I got some flat tires. So, you know, I need the Holy Spirit to pump me up. You got that one, didn't you? I'm getting better. But not only do we have to be hearers of the word, Jesus gave us two warnings. He told us, out of Mark 4:24, be careful what you hear. Remember? And he told us out of Luke 8:18, be careful how you hear. And then I went on this tangent last week. Remember? I let the bunny run, and I talked about how to test the spirits. And I gave you a handout for testing the spirits. And it came to me as a shock to see the revelation on people's faces that we know God speaks, right? And we know Satan speaks. But we forget our spirit speaks too. Satan uses our flesh to speak to our minds. And a lot of times, mental assenters, like myself, I like to talk about the things of God. But I'm constantly, every time I come up to that wall, and I keep smacking that wall, and I figure if I just keep pushing on that wall, I'll get through that wall. Well, what happens to my vehicle of faith? I back up, I get hooked onto another car, I rip my bumper off, and then I call my insurance company. You know where I'm going. Gotta be quicker than that. Right? And that's what we do. We try to use a get out of Jesus card when we should be in Jesus, not trying to get out. We should be letting Jesus out. Turn to Mark 9. And I'm going to take us into the next principle, which is believing. Mark 9, starting in verse 14, and we'll go to verse 24. It goes on a little bit further, but I want us to cover something here. Because it's real important how Satan wants to keep us as mental assenters and not move as power brokers of the kingdom. Okay? Remember? I said Satan attacks us three ways. How does he attack us? He attacks us personally. He attacks our families. And he attacks our environment, which could be our jobs. It could be extended family members. It could be our church family. It could be anything. He attacks. How many of us have been under attack? Get used to it. Like I like to say, welcome to the ministry. We just laugh now. It ain't funny, but we laugh. What are you going to do? Sit there and cry and bemoan what's going on? It is for the perfecting of my faith that Jesus, who promised me that even in that bad situation, he will turn it around for my good. And that's his promise to you too. Let's look at this. Mark 9, starting in verse 14. I'm reading out of NIV. And when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. That's a good thing, right? Jesus asked, "What are you arguing with these nitwits about?" My translation. Yeah. It's a little more liberated. Okay. And a man in the crowd said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out this spirit, but they could not." Whoa, unbelieving generation! How long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. And the spirit saw Jesus and immediately it threw the boy into the convulsion. And he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. How many of us have done exactly that? I mean, I remember when I was a binge drinker. Boy, I used to fall on the ground. I used to foam at the mouth. That spirit of liquor got a hold of me, man, and I was dancing on that ground. I'll tell you what, I was making snow angels out of green grass. I mean, that was just trying to get up out of the ground. Anybody ever get that bad? I was, okay. But Jesus asked the boy, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he said. "It often throws him into the fire or into the water to try to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." If you can, everything is possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me in my unbelief." Did you get it? There are two types of belief. Just like there's two types of hearing. Mental ascension says, "I hear the word of God and I believe I can go through. And I smash up every time." Is that belief? No. Because you see, when I take Jesus out of the equation, that is unbelief. It's mental ascension. Jesus wants to use you and me to do His will so that the Father is glorified. You catching this? And as long as I stay there and I hear the Word of God and I believe in my head, nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change. I've heard people through the years, "I got it, Pastor. I really got what you're saying." And their life is still stinking. Their life is filled with thoughts of not doing the will of God. It's doing the will of Gary. The question here comes to a place, do I truly believe what God says is true, or do I just think I believe that what God says is true? You judge for yourself. It's your life. I'm trying to give you a key that will dismantle the enemy's attachment to your life. Let's take a look at the scriptures and tear it apart. Belief is called having a complete conviction or confidence in the truth. The existence of something not immediately susceptible to the rigors of proof. It is to have faith in the reliability and honesty and benevolence of someone. Anyone. Do you really believe that God's got your forward? See, there's no retreat in God. He leads us into every victory. Do you believe this, or is this just some sort of mental ascension that we parrot the word of God, but there is no death or substance in us? Remember I said last week that Tozer said, it's okay to doubt, but to believe everything is deadly. Remember? What do you believe? Because what you believe cultivates your belief system, your value system, your worldview of things, how you're going to act, how you're going to behave, what condition your home is in, how your kids are being treated, how you're discipling your family, praying over things, how you behave at work. It does everything. Mental ascension says, I could come here and I can pretend to be a Christian. I'm doing everything right in front of everybody. Right, brother? Let me come into your home. There's a reason why you don't invite me to your home. Isn't it? It's not me coming into your home. It's Jesus in me, the hope of glory, coming into your home. What would he say about the condition of your house? Are you just hearing what he says mentally? Are you just giving a belief system but still living contrary? Because you see, the test of a disciple is right here before your eyes. Do you believe that he is going to take you through everything? How's it start? It starts off with a crowd. Now picture this. I'm visionary and I do pretty well with these pictures and stuff. It starts out with a crowd and this man comes up and he says, brother, sister, cast this demon out. And of course we do this hocus pocus stuff, you know, I command you in the name of Jesus and all this other nonsense that comes out. But nothing's happening. And a crowd is building up. Was a crowd in the church? Where was the crowd? Mighty quiet in here. Where was the crowd? Outside. Out there. Jesus is not with them. They could not cast this demon out. Jesus told us, you can do nothing without me. Nothing. You can't cast the demon out. You can't do a good work. You can't think straight. You can't talk straight. You walk like a duck. You think you're Affleck and you're going to have your bills paid. But guess what? You're not going to rub the genie in the Bible and hope that Jesus comes out and takes care of your situation. That is not faith. not heart faith. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man will prove a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. When religious people, and I've had it through the years, and Pastor Mike, you probably had the same thing, you're out doing the work of the Lord. And religious people, besides having a murdering spirit about them, will always try to get you to justify why you're doing things contrary to doctrine, contrary to the traditions of men, contrary to the church. Why are you doing this? What do you think is the purpose of Satan sending this religious spirit to confront you? This is very important that you understand this. It is to set fear into your heart. How many of us have sat down and I said to you as you describe certain things going on, and you say, Pastor, you know, I was talking with this person, and you know what? I just really sensed the compulsion to pray for that person. Did you? No. You know, what would people think? What would people say? You understand? That is a religious spirit that is breeding fear into your heart to keep you from doing the will of God. Many years I've labored here talking with the religious spirits of this town. And I'll tell you what, I have not been successful. Because first of all, I don't do what they think I should do. How many of you have come to me and said, well, Pastor, I think it's a great idea. I said, I don't need another great idea. I need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying so we do what He wants done. That is hearing Him and believing Him. God speaks to my spirit who enlightens my mind to motivate my flesh to do what Gary wants. What do you mean? Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. I'll give you an A for that one. He speaks to my spirit. It is important to discern the voice of God, who enlightens my mind. He gives me wisdom. He gives me a sensibility, a sanity about me. He then empowers my spirit to make my flesh do what it is that God wants done, so that God is glorified in that. Does this make sense? Head faith or head believing stays right there in the head. It has nothing to do with a changed heart and motivation. What's your motivation for staying the way you are? If you are the same as what you were a month ago, you're in sin because you're in unbelief. That's what he says, not what I say. Because I'm rowing his boat with you. I'm not at the front. That's George Washington. But I'm sitting right next to you because, you know what? I'm getting beat up just as you are. Only I get the privilege to do it twice. I get in the office with the Holy Spirit, and then I get to preach it and convict it a second time. That's my double portion. Satan's greatest deception is to try and make us afraid to do the will of God. And he will always first test us with the religious spirit. If the religious spirit cannot make us afraid, it will try to kill us. And isn't that what they try to do to Jesus? If I can't dissuade you and make you fearful, I want to kill you. How can you kill somebody that's already dead? I'm dead. Are you? That doesn't mean I don't struggle with the things going on in my life. That doesn't mean anything. But I want to do His will. That is my desire. That is what consumes me. That He may be glorified through my life. Fear, according to Webster, is a strong emotion of impending distress, pain, danger, or evil that will create an illusion of such. It's an illusion. Why don't we move out? Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. Okay. Well, why don't you move out? Well, I'm afraid of the pain. Okay. Why don't you move out? We had men's breakfast yesterday. And one of the men said to me, you know, I just came here. I'm sharing what's going on in my life. I want to get the counsel. And to a man, we said to this brother, so what has God said to you? I don't have anything to offer except encouragement. God and Him alone have the words of eternal life. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. Mental ascension quotes this scripture, but it does not live here. The whole point of the spirit of fear is to, as you're turning there, is to create anxiety and apprehension for the purpose of avoiding and preventing any action of overcoming. That's what fear does. It paralyzes us. I'm made out of the same stuff as you, but I will not let them cause fear to come into me. I may sit back. I am not going to let fear steal my peace. And as Paul, I'm learning, I beat my body into subjection and make it do what God wants done. Fear is an emotion. It is head belief. Where's our emotions? In our soul. What's contained in our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Which is being redeemed by principle number 3. You see how this all comes together? If you are not in the Word, if you don't know what God is saying, and you're not appropriating the Word of God, and all you do is hear and believe, but there is no correlating action of change, you're deceiving yourself. Not God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of weakness. Right, Miss Kim, I'm right there with you, girlfriend. Of power, of hate. Well, come on now, of self-sufficiency. Self-discipline, self-control. It is putting everything that is in me under one basket and I control it. Through the power of Jesus Christ. In love. I can't control it by myself. How many of us have tried to control our emotions? And we do a good job. But then you know what? Something else happens. And we say, like Popeye, that's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Give me my spinach. I saw the movie. Robin Williams. I know, Dill, I'm retarded. What can I say? I accept who I am in Jesus Christ. But He will not forsake me. He will not leave me there to my own devices. Praise the Lord. Keep praying for me. God, where does God dwell? When you become born again, where does God dwell? What's our heart mean? He dwells in our spirit, right, brother? Now, I want you to catch something here. If he dwells in my spirit, do I have just parts of God? I have the fullness of the Godhead that dwells in me. The fullness. That means, you know what? He's given me a measure of faith. And as I exercise, this fullness comes out. Have you ever felt empowered when you confront somebody or a situation that wants to impede your progress? I don't know about you, but I check out the holiness of God and I become a mighty warrior in Jesus Christ. And guess what I do? I call my brothers and we go and we knock the snot out of the devil. And on top of that, we win people to Jesus Christ. It's the only way to make him mad. We're invading. We're an invasion force of taking back what is ours already. We're not feeble. We're powerful. Our weapons are feeble in Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't want me to make anybody angry or insult them. You know, because after all, I don't want anybody to be mad at me. You guys know me. I'm going to insult anybody and everybody just to see where they're at. My motive is not just to do that. My motive is to see if I can work with you and build with you. My heart is to see if I can transcend your thinking to the heart of God and what He wants to do in these last days. You see, if we have a mindset and we're believing that Jesus is going to take us out and we hinge our faith on the rapture, then you're operating from mental ascension. Read James. See what he says. Do you have works that correlates with faith? I'll show you my works by what I do, by my faith. This didn't happen because I thought it was a great idea. Although, when God spoke to me, it was a great idea. I didn't attend all these meetings and all the leaders attending these meetings with me to go to the town council to find out what's going on here. You just think that, well, pastor don't have a job, you know, he's free all day long. And all of a sudden I just clap my hands, rub my genie Bible, and it happens. I wish it was that simple. We're here because God says we're here. And you're here not by coincidence. You're here because you know down deep within your heart there is something that God has spoken to you. You may not comprehend the depth of it, but you know what I'm saying to you because your hearts are being energized even as I'm saying it. So here we are, where the religious spirit is getting us to become fearful and not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, Jesus arrives on the scene. And they become filled with awe. What did the Pharisees and Sadducees say about the disciples after Jesus ascended? These guys, they're nuts. They were with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? See, it's not just Jesus saved me. It's Jesus saved me to do what you want done. Believe me, I think I would have chosen something a lot different than what he's chosen for me. I never desired to be a prophet. I made excuses for the first 10 years of all the prophetic stuff that he was giving me. Then he says, you're going to be a pastor. And I'm like, I'm not equipped. He says, but I am. Come on, let's do this. And then he says, I'm going to give you this building. And our lawyer says to us, Pastor, you did everything wrong. I did everything wrong. But I looked at the lawyer and I said, but God. This is a guy who proclaimed himself as agnostic. He believes in some power, but he doesn't believe in God. And I said, you hang with me, I'll convert you. I'll make you a disciple. He said, I don't know about that. He said, that doesn't stop me from praying for you. And I do. But God dwells in us. The example of this indwelling is found in only one place. In Daniel. Daniel's friends were all tossed into the furnace. That was Meshach, Shadrach, and Ben Your Nose. That's not his name? Well, that's the second names. You know, I don't do that. I make up my names. Yeah. Okay. But what happened when the king threw him into the furnace? Who was in the midst? Jesus was in the midst. That is a living example of the Trinity in reverse in each and every one of us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in the fire because He is a consuming fire, igniting our spirits. If you can see this, this is, you know, you are so powerful, you haven't realized your potential yet. That's why I say to you, you are supernatural beings. You're not natural. Nothing we do is natural except sin. Everything we do is supernatural, filled with power and might. Jesus comes on the scene. We're not going to do anything until Jesus comes on the scene for streams, for first love. We're not. Amen. We're not. Why? Why are you doing this? Why do you think when Jess sent out the invites to other churches, why do you think we didn't get responses? I'm not going to say. I just say stuff like, I think they're busy in their thing. Pastor Mike likes to say it more accurately, but I'm afraid of man, so I don't say it. He just believes that God is going to do something in this small beginning of two churches working together. And it's really not two churches. It's one church. It's His church. Okay? Working together. And these churches want to see what God's going to do. Well, we're not about waiting to see what God's going to do. We're going to do it and watch and see what God does through it. I show you my faith by my works. I'm not waiting for Jesus to show up. He's already there. He's waiting for us to show up. And so what He does is He goes on a fact-finding thing. He checks out. He says, what's going on here? And immediately the religious spirits start acting. Religious spirits dwell in human bodies. Demonic spirits dwell in human bodies. I remember some 15 years ago, just she was part of a youth group, and this girl was manifesting. She cast the spirit out. And the family got all upset. And she says to me, Dad, I did what Jesus told me to do. I did what you instructed. I did the things that God said. And these people turned on us. I said, welcome to the kingdom. You did right. Don't worry about it. If you're doing what Jesus said, it's up to them to get right with Him. You're just doing what He's told you to do. So here He is. He's all this. He doesn't get involved with the religious leaders. And remind you, there is a crowd around. There's a crowd around. Jan, I'm going to use you. The first time we did Main Street, we actually did our thing. Remember? You said, oh, Pastor, I'm afraid. What do you got to be afraid of? Well, you know what? Are you afraid anymore? Are you ready to go do it again? Amen. Amen. And I see looks in your eyes that would drive men insane because I see the warrior of Jesus Christ in you. Ready to be unleashed upon this community in the power and might of His Spirit. So Jesus didn't get caught up in the crowds. And there are crowds around. And we would pray with people. We would take them courteously. We'd pick them up. Come on, Gar, get up. Get up. And we'd take our shipwrecked faith. And we'd come and walk it over here. And we'd go behind our tent so we wouldn't insult people. We're not going to do that anymore. What I learned is we insult God. I'd rather insult man than God. And this year we're going to coordinate. We're going to be public. We're going to pray with people. But we're going to watch God deliver people, heal people. We're going to watch God do this because we're going to have a positive faith. Because He can do everything. I know. I believe it. And I've seen it. And I've seen Him use me in ways. Early on as a Christian, you've heard this story at least once or twice, dozens. A friend of mine took me into the prayer tent, and he says, "Oh, go up there and pray for this person." I'm like, "Okay, I'm young, dumb." I laid my hands on that person, and mind you, this body was all contorted, it was twisted, and he was in bad shape. And all I said was, "In Jesus' name, be healed." And I heard snap, crackle, pop. I opened up my eyes. I removed my hands because I became afraid. And I saw the hands of the Holy Spirit on this guy's back. And as contorted and twisted as he was, snap, 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 snap. And he was screaming, not in pain. He was screaming in joy that he was being set free by the Spirit of God. And later on that night, as I did an exit stage right quickly, I was only months old in the Lord, I saw him up on the stage that night. And he's running back and forth. And mind you, this stage at Creation is probably as long as our building. And he was testifying. He says, "I don't know who prayed for me, but Jesus healed me. That was good enough for me. Jesus got the glory. I got a lesson in reality." And that's what he wants to do here. So the first thing a religious spirit wants to do is first cause fear to come into us. And they will use fear to bring a snare that we do not do the things that God wants us to do. We will wait upon the Spirit. And waiting upon the Spirit of Jesus and the Holy Spirit to come upon us is going to require us to pray. Pray. He says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, I will abide in you." Comes down to time. How much time do you spend with God? What is He teaching you? What is He showing you? What is He telling you? What are you not doing? Why are you not responding? Don't you believe? Don't you believe He wants to use you? Don't you believe He wants to lead you into all victory? Don't you believe that He has something greater than you? Or are you relying on a mental ascension as to what the Word is saying? And you can write down everything I'm saying, you can listen to it, but until it's motivated into action, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. Because only a changed life is what matters here. The question and the argument is not to argue with them. Just do what your Father told you to do. You have all power and authority to do His will. What is power? The ability to wage war. What is authority? the right to use it. You had the rights. It tells me in John, first chapter, that he gave us the right to become sons of the Most High. He gave us the right. He didn't tell them. He told us. Use your right. Your divine right. It's ordained from heaven. Because your right is meant to set people free, to expand his kingdom influence. It's to heal the brokenhearted. It is to preach the acceptable year of God. You have been anointed for such a time as this. Don't waste the anointing. Don't think for a moment. Do it. Hear him and believe it. It's done. Now, Satan will use another ploy to bring fear into us. If the fear of man doesn't bring a snare to us, and it shouldn't, because if you have my attitude, I would rather offend you than him. That gives you a different perspective. But Satan will use another ploy. They brought the boy. And immediately the demon saw Jesus. What happened? It fell down. It manifested. It convulsed. It did all kinds of stuff. And most Christians, and I was guilty, but not because a demon manifested, but because I had heard that God wanted to do these things. I never experienced the reality of God doing these things. Through me. Who am I? I'm nobody. I like sitting in the back of the bus. That's where all the bumps are. And you go up real high. I don't like to have attention drawn to me. But when someone manifests, guess what? That warring spirit comes up in me. That Jehu spirit comes up into me. And I will take on the fiercest demon, the fiercest territorial spirit, I will take them on. Understand that if I give a punch, I'm going to get punched back. So I need to understand that how Satan attacks me, I have to understand that God's got my back, even though I'm being attacked, even though this stuff is going on. If nothing's going on in my life, I am no threat to the kingdom of Satan. If everything is going wrong and the leaders know what's going on in my house, in my family, we must be doing something right. And I have a brother here at Locks Arms who encourages me. Who encourages me. Go for it, brother. I'm with you. I got your back. And I'm doing the same for him. We're a covenant relationship. But I'm not satisfied in just being in covenant relationship. I want this relationship to glorify God. So when a demon manifests, and they will manifest in here. They will. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
Well, Pastor, I'll pray and cast them out.
What have I been doing lately? You go feed them. But there's 5,000, Lord. We only got 2 loaves and 5 fishes. That's not enough to even start to feed them. You cast them out. But Jesus is already on the scene. Are you going to let Satan rule your house? Are you going to let him rule your house here? He's not. He's welcome to be here. He is, and he sits in the pews. But he has no intention of bending his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time he manifests, I'm going to smack him. Every time he does something, I'm going to smack him. And you guys are starting to get that attitude. Every time he manifests, you're going to smack him. That's what he needs. So when this demon manifests, are you going to be fear-ridden? Do you not know that sickness is a demon? And you have power to cast it out? Mental ascension says, I'll go to the doctors. I'll fill my head with a bunch of drugs, and I won't have any clear thinking. Now, mind you, my condition, God has brought me through. I had a stroke, and I'm on medication. But I'm seeking God. I want a total deliverance from that stuff. I don't want to have that. I'm not telling you to give up your medication. I'm telling you to seek Him who is able to heal you by His Word. And let Him tell you what to do. And then go to the doctor and let them confirm this miracle that God has performed. Because Satan wants to keep you under the power of his little finger. In reality, he's where? Under our feet. When we understand that this basis of belief and faith, and they're conjoined, you can't separate the two. You need the sword of the Spirit to cut this apart. The Word of God is more powerful than any living sword. It's like able to cut. A sword is able to cut through the muscle and the sinews of the body. So is the sword of God able to cut through the things of the Spirit. Until it becomes resident within you and you believe the same within you, you will not be able to visualize the next step. You know, and I'm taking a real consorted effort to get you to understand that where I'm at, God wants to take me even higher. So I have to get us all together so that we can move together to this higher plane. He changes us from glory to glory, faith to faith. He does it. If we act with the principles of the kingdom into our lives, there's nothing to be afraid. Churchill knew that. He says, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. No, we don't have to fear fear at all. I'm good. I can't wait to get to a donut. So it comes down to the last thing. When the man said, I believe, help me in my unbelief. What do you believe? Do you truly believe that what God says in His Word is true and that He wants you to experience this victory, but you have to mobilize yourself into this victory? Which means you have to have a change of standard. You have to have a change of life. You have to have a change of heart. You have to change from your position of selfishness and self-centeredness to become and have the right to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. If not, there are plenty of churches out there that you can find that are cushy. And you guys have heard me say it. Go to Safe Church. Go. We go to war. I want to know who's in my foxhole. And if you're retreating, my first shot is in your back. Because you're no good to me and you're no good to God. I'm telling it the way it is. It's the way of the kingdom. Was Jehu afraid of Jezebel? What he did on the anointing of the prophets. Remember? Elijah poured oil on him. and anointed him king. And what was the first thing he did? He went up to the house of Ahab and he destroyed Jezebel. A spirit of rebellion and manipulation and witchcraft. What is trying to enter into the house of God and is already in here? A spirit of entertainment, a spirit of witchcraft, a spirit of charismatic wizardry. That is what's trying to enter into the house of God, into this move of God. It will not have its place here. And it will try to take me out again. I am raising sons and daughters, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are fearlessly and wonderfully made for a time as this. The question is, what do you have faith in? And what do you believe he has said to you? And we must be motivated by one thing. Love. Love. 1 John says, I think it's 1 John 4 says, perfect love casts out fear. If we become afraid, that's not a sin. But the love of Jesus Christ that's shed abroad in our hearts must cast that fear away. We must become courageous. Being a courageous person for Jesus Christ is not the absence of fear. It is taking fear as a motivation to overcome. And if you physically die, you die. Natural armies are a great example of the spiritual fight that we are in at this moment. This nation is no longer a Christian nation. This nation does not love God because it does not do what God says. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do it. We pay a lot of mental attention to some sort of quasi-faith and some sort of belief system that is contrary and insulting to our King. Our lifestyles should be exemplary. Our homes should exhibit the best, not the worst. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. But the way we live right now, we live as though we're ashamed of our King. I don't do this to shame you or condemn you. I'm telling you, there's more of God that we need. And we need to love God more. We need to love God through our service. We need to love God in changing our heart attitude about things. We need to change the way we do Christianity. Christianity, to me, and I said this a long time ago, I don't want to be called a Christian. That's telling me that the Antioch world is telling me who I am. It's a label. I am a son of the Most High. I have been given power and authority to rule in His house. I had all power and authority to kick Satan's teeth in and take back what is already mine and what is yours. How many of you believe that? Then stand up. Because that's who you are. And if you don't believe that, don't do it just because you think that that's the right thing to do. Do it because you do believe. Jesus paid an awesome price to bring us back to Him. He is not going to pay any more for what He has done for us that we should now do to bring His kingdom in heaven onto this earth. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that You anoint each and every one today afresh, God. Father, I cast out that spirit of fear of man that would ensnare us and keep us from doing the things that you have called us to do. I release you, Holy Spirit, to flood our being, to saturate us, that our hearts would be aflamed with your plans and purposes before our plans and purposes. And God, if you need to eradicate things in my life, then do it. Do it, God. I want to be a radical for you, God. I want this world to step back and be fearful of dealing with me, because, God, they have to deal with you. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us of believing this lie. Of believing that you know what, I'm just waiting for the rapture to get here and then everything's going to be good. It'll only be good when the church does what it's been created to do. God, do it with streams. Do it with first love, God. Do it in a way that the rest of the churches, the local assemblies in this community would want to be a part of what you're doing, God. And we will give you all praise. We will give you all glory, God. God, because you have given us the victory. You are our victory, O God. And there is nothing that the enemy can throw against us that shall prosper, God. Nothing. I ask you, bless your people in their comings and goings. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.